Thanks for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms. This episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. Spotify Green Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson. Today is Wednesday, November 3rd, 2021. And the Major League Baseball season, the 2021 Major League Baseball season, has finally come to an end. The Atlanta Braves, your 2021 World Series champions. In case you missed it last night, the game ended with a ground out, Dansby Swanson over to Freddie Freeman. A lot uncertain about that team as a whole, whether Freddie Freeman will either be with the Braves next year. You know, in a weird way, I know a lot of people didn't want to see the Braves win the World Series as a Phillies fan. I was even joking around a little bit on Twitter last night about how this is somehow a Mickey Mouse ring for them because they only played 161 games during the regular season. Obviously, I do not genuinely feel that way. But in terms of their season as a whole, I think, you know, they play in the National League East. I don't really find that they have dislikable players per se. Like, I get that there is a dislike from a Phillies fan perspective because they play in the NL East, because the Phillies meet them 19 times per year, and just flat out because they're the Atlanta Braves. But I think the more annoying part to me, and this has been highlighted kind of throughout the month of October here, and especially when I did my episode with Johnny Heller from PhilliesNation.com, I think the more annoying part to me, the more annoying part about the Braves winning the World Series than anything having to do with them being in the same division, than anything having to do with the fact that they are just the Atlanta Braves and the Phillies see them year in and year out. Like, not really from a Phillies perspective. What's annoying to me is that how they got to where they got, right? Like, they were never the best team in Major League Baseball. I don't think anyone would argue that in the year 2021, you look at 162-game sample size, and there's a reason. There's a reason why we play 162 games. In the Braves' case, I know I'm kidding around, 161 games. There's a reason you play that many games in a Major League Baseball season. And usually, you can tell who the best teams are over that six-month span, right? The playoffs are for entertainment value there. So the best of the best are on the biggest stage in baseball in October on national TV for all of us to enjoy. But truth be told, if you wanted to judge who the best team was, you'd have everyone play a large sample size of game, a large sample size of games, 100, 150, even 162, and you would judge it based on that. So if you were to judge it based on that and say, okay, the best two teams in baseball this year, the Giants and the Dodgers, and the Giants beat them out to win the National League West by a very, very slim margin. And then you look at, all right, the winner of the NL Central was the Milwaukee Brewers. And then you go to the American League and say, well, the Houston Astros, who the Braves just beat, had 95 wins. The Tampa Bay Rays had 100 wins. Even the Chicago White Sox had 93 wins. The Atlanta Braves in the National League East, as I said many, many times on this very podcast, the National League East was the most winnable division in all of baseball. And besides the fact of how frustrating it was that the Phillies yet again did not make the postseason in the year 2021, and of course this was a year where you were turning off the COVID year, so you're going from 16 teams in the playoffs back down to the regular 10, but you get a larger sample size, and no one really thought that they could get over that hump initially. Like, I thought the Braves would win the National League East at the beginning of the year. I thought the New York Mets would be better than they were, but ultimately down the stretch of the season, the opportunity was there. The Phillies didn't get it. The Braves won this division at 88 games, but a lot of those wins came late in the season. And that's really what I'm getting at here, is the Braves pieced together this World Series title in spite of losing Ronald Acuña Jr., their best player, their team MVP. They won, you know, not making, I wouldn't call them blockbuster trades at the time. They acquired Eddie Rosario, guys like Jorge Soler, Jock Peterson, Adam Duvall. Those guys really stepped up in the postseason. First time in baseball history that both MVPs in a playoff, you know, in the playoffs, and baseball is the only sport that awards, you know, MVPs of a playoff series other than the championship in basically the conference finals or the league championship series. You think about the NBA, they offer or they award an NBA Finals MVP, but other than that, there's an All-Star Game MVP and one league-wide MVP throughout the course of the season. In the NHL, you have, I believe it's the Stanley Cup playoffs MVP, actually, but it's given usually to a guy who is on the team who wins the cup. And it's based upon their performance throughout the playoffs, and there's a league MVP, and same thing, NFL MVP. There's a Super Bowl MVP. Well, in baseball, it's a little bit unique, A, because you have MVPs in both leagues, National League and American League, and I do believe that Bryce Harper will be announced as the National League MVP when that comes about on November 19th. We're just about 2 weeks away from that. I'm sure we'll have some fun with that when, you know, I do believe he will win it. But they offer, or they award, I keep saying offer, they do award an MVP for the National League and American League Championship Series as well as the World Series. Well, Eddie Rosario, an in-season pickup for the Atlanta Braves, won the National League Championship Series MVP. And then Jorge Soler, capped off by a monster home run last night over the train tracks in Houston, well over the Crawford boxes, wins the World Series MVP. And it's not like the Braves gave up blockbuster players, you know, to get these guys. You know, the name that keeps popping up is that one of the names they traded was Pablo Sandoval to Cleveland, who then was immediately released. And other than hitting an opening day home run off of Aaron Nola, I'm not quite exactly sure what it was that Pablo Sandoval was doing at this point in his career. And he didn't finish the season on a team. The Atlanta Braves were a team who, you know, believed in themselves. Clearly the front office believed in that team at the deadline, despite not even being in first place practically for the entirety of the season. You remember the Phillies went on that winning streak right after the trade deadline. The Mets were in first place at the trade deadline. And then the Phillies jumped into first place for a few weeks. The Braves were not supposed to be in this position. The Braves losing their best player in Ronald Acuna Jr. and just trying to make something work at the deadline were not supposed to be in this position. Baseball is weird. This is sometimes how baseball works. And as weird as it sounds, and as far away as I think the Phillies are from being on the level of a number of teams we saw in this year's postseason, I think this is an example of a team that it kind of just shows you what baseball is. And it shows you, A, why baseball is great, but B, you know, on the one hand, it can give you hope. It can give you hope that the Phillies are not that far away from making the postseason. They can make some sort of weird run. They're not going to have the stretch of dominance that they had in 2007 to 2011 anytime soon, I don't believe, with their winning National League East after National League East after National League East after National League East 5 times in a row. Now, the Braves are in the middle of a run like that, and they just got their championship. But it does say that maybe one little freak, you know, offseason or deadline can propel this team to a championship. The other thing I saw, though, on the flip side of that, is that I saw the Braves reach levels without their best player that the Phillies, I don't think, can reach with their best player, which just makes it more concerning for me. And now that the Braves have their title, we'll see what they look like in the year 2021. But it's just really, really concerning to me at this point to think, wow, the Phillies have to reach that level. We're now within their own division. The Atlanta Braves are going to come in 3 separate series per year next year as the defending World Series champs. And the goal is now more clear than ever. You have to try and catch that team. The Braves obviously got performances out of the bullpen. This was a stat that they showed on the broadcast last night, that the average length of starters in the World Series was at an all-time low. Like, these two managers, Dusty Baker and Brian Snitker, were very, very fast to go into their bullpens and get quality innings out of their bullpens. And oftentimes, whoever's bullpen was better, you know, was who's going to win the game in the postseason. Does that sound like anything the Phillies are up to the task of doing? Or does it sound like they've been up to the task for many, many years here? Because I certainly don't think so. The Phillies are in a case where the bullpen drives us up a wall in regular season games, where you want your starting pitcher to go deeper into games than you would in the playoffs. Playoffs are an entirely different animal. And I will say that as pieced together as the Braves roster was, they got to a point where, you know, they were able to get themselves through these games because they have reliable guys in the bullpen that they can go to, because they have guys that step up, because they got guys acquired at the deadline or in season who really helped them out on their playoff run. And again, the first time in baseball history, NLCS MVP Eddie Rosario wasn't on the team on opening day. They acquired him. Then you also look at the World Series MVP, Jorge Soler, wasn't on the team on opening day. They acquired him. The Braves totally did this on the seat of their pants. They were never supposed to even be in the playoffs if the Phillies and Mets were any good and could have gotten to you know, more than 88 wins, which is what the Braves ended up with. If any team in the National League East had won 90, this Braves team would not have been possible because no one in the NL East was even remotely close to a wild card spot, essentially. So this was an example of a team piecing it together at the end, in the final 2 months, taking advantage of a division that they knew was weak. And again, on the one hand, it speaks to how great baseball is. That's just a little side note here. I am always upset when baseball comes to an end. Like whenever the baseball season comes to an end, it's like, all right, I immediately look to the calendar. I think as of today, 102 days until pitchers and catchers report to Clearwater and all across Major League Baseball. So we now go into a cold, dark winter where we don't have baseball on every single night, which is a luxury we've had if you include spring training since the beginning of March, late February. I know we have an offseason to look forward to. I know we have Bryce Harper very likely winning the MVP to look forward to. A lot on the table of Dave Dombrowski and what this team is going to look like. But we are entering the months of the year where it gets colder, gets darker a little bit sooner, and there is not baseball on the TV each and every night, or you can't go down to the ballpark each and every night, which is just a really fun thing, regardless of how the team is playing. And again, a little more than 100 days till we're going to, hear from this team or any baseball team again. So in a weird way, if you are a Braves fan, which probably not if you're listening to Locked on Phillies here, but if you are, I have some crossover audience, when I've done crossovers with the Locked on Braves guys. Congratulations to you. You got your first World Series championship since 1995. If you are my age, you saw your first championship since then. On a broader scale, again, I don't hate the Atlanta Braves. I mean, good for the city of Atlanta, I guess. They've had some really poor sports history. You think about the Falcons blowing a lead in the Super Bowl to the Patriots 28-3. You think about the fact that the University of Georgia that's not Atlanta, but they're big on college football down there, blew a big lead in the national championship right around then, I believe it was, as well. The Atlanta Hawks, although they beat the Sixers in the Eastern Conference semifinals, lost in the conference finals last year. They lost their hockey team, the Thrashers, 10 years ago. I'm not really sure if hockey was so big down in Atlanta anyway, but they did lose their entire franchise. So bad luck for the Falcons. That was their one shot. Should have beaten the Patriots. I know the world was rooting for them at that point. Couldn't get it done. The Atlanta Braves have won divisions before but fallen short in the playoffs. They finally get it done. For someone my age who has lived in Atlanta and been a sports fan their entire life, they finally have their championship parade will be on Friday. And again, hopefully, instead of being bitter about the fact that, hey, the Atlanta Braves, a team in our division, won the playoffs, perhaps it's a blueprint for the Phillies in future years to be more aggressive if you're mathematically in it, and just say baseball is weird, just get ourselves in the tournament. Maybe that's all we need to end the long streak of losing we've had around here, because certainly that long streak of losing is something that I know we would all like to see come to an end. More Locked on Phillies coming right up. But first, I have to tell you about Spotify Green Room. This episode of the Locked on Phillies podcast is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, and athletes and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I will be hosting rooms for Locked on Phillies once a week. Yes, you can finally join in the conversation you listen to here every single day. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join whatever league room it is, NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, all league rooms and discussions are available on Spotify Green Room. And be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4 to be notified when the room goes live, as well as at @LO_Philly. So again, you want to check out the Spotify Green Room app, link your Twitter, and be sure to join the conversation once the conversation goes live. Spotify Green Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. Thanks for making Locked on Phillies your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms. Just one final thing to note here before we kind of continue into the Phillies news of the day. And there were two bits of, I thought, somewhat significant Phillies news here that we're going to get to and kind of wrap up the show with in the final two segments. The last two World Series champions in 162-game seasons. Of course, the Dodgers won last year. It was a 60-game COVID-shortened year. You kind of throw out numbers and stats and trends from that year a little bit out the window. Both National League East teams, of course, the Atlanta Braves here in the year 2021 and the Washington Nationals in the year 2019. Through 81 games, the exact halfway point of the season. And again, this is why you play a large sample size. The Atlanta Braves had a, first of all, the Nationals had a 41-40 record. You remember they started that season, first 50 games, 19-31 was the number you kept hearing. And they finally figured it out. And they got to all the way to one game over 500 at the All-Star break. Or not even at the All-Star break, at the 81 game mark, which is slightly before the All-Star break, which happens in mid-July. The Atlanta Braves, at that same point here this season, before, you know, Acuna's injury was affecting them, before they really made any moves to bolster the roster down the stretch of the second half of the season, they were 40-41. 40-41. Again, they were second, third place for much of the season. They weren't on the radar. They weren't supposed to win the World Series. So if that isn't a sign that, you know, in the future, if the Phillies are in position to potentially win a division or go after a legitimate playoff spot to go for it, maybe the motivation of two teams, the last two teams winning 162 game season World Series, being in the National League East and both struggling in the first half of the season, because it's not, you know, it's a cliche, but it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. It's about the whole sum of all parts. All games in 162 game season matter, and you can go through rough stretches and still find yourself in the tournament, in the playoffs, come October. And once you're in, theoretically, anyone's got a shot to win the World Series. The Atlanta Braves, the worst of all of the division winners, one of the worst playoff teams in terms of record here this season. They find themselves on top of the baseball world here today. They're the ones with a parade coming up on Friday. A few bits and pieces I wanted to get to. Additionally, this is more on a Phillies front, as again, now we have officially entered the offseason. Baseball, you know, flips the calendar to 2022, and something to monitor, of course, will be whether there even is a 2022 season or whether we miss any time. You know, that thing about 102 days until pitchers and catchers. I don't know how likely that actually is. That's what the countdown is at right now. There's a CBA that is expiring at the end of this month, I believe it is, when we talk to our buddy, our friend of the podcast now, I should say, Scott Lauber from the Philadelphia Inquirer. He told us that, you know, that's when it ends. And these two teams, you know, the two sides, the players union, as well as the owners in Major League Baseball, oftentimes they like to procrastinate. So we'll certainly see what the future of baseball holds. But some moves still currently being made. And the news of the day out of the Philadelphia Phillies front office is that they will be declining two options. Number one is they will be declining. This is reading directly from a tweet from former Locked On Phillies host Tim Kelly, friend of the podcast as well. The Phillies decline Andrew McCutchen's $15 million club option, and they will now pay him a $3 million buyout. Odubel Herrera also getting a buyout. They're not accepting his club option. That's a $2.5 million buyout. He remains arbitration eligible, but certainly as of tonight, it does appear that the, you know, the tenure of in Phillies pinstripes for both Odubel Herrera and Andrew McCutchen has both come to an end here. Kind of just wanted to briefly editorialize on, you know, what these two guys brought to the table. I'll start with McCutchen. Obviously, when they got McCutchen, I like the signing. He's been here for 3 years. He came over, they got him in that same offseason that they signed Bryce Harper, who's in going into the 2019 season. And overall, you know, he was a pretty productive player, especially that first year, 834 OPS. His, you know, he wasn't a huge power guy actually with the Phillies until this season when he hit 27. He had exactly 10 home runs in the 2019 season, and that was in a 162 game season. Now, of course, he did miss time in that season as well, because you remember in 2019, he actually didn't play that much more than he did in the 2020 season, right? He played 59 games, missed lots of time due to injury, that play in San Diego. So that one was cut short. Phillies really missed his bat at the top of the lineup, a leadoff hitter for much of his time in Phillies pinstripes. So he ended it with 10 home runs there. He hit the exact same thing, consistency, in 60 games last year. And I guess I shouldn't say that he wasn't much of a power hitter up until this year, but this was the first time we saw him play over the course of an entire 162 game season. Of course, the first year it was him getting hurt on a play where Gene Segura didn't hustle and there was a weird play going on at first base. And then in the second season, COVID shortened the year. So now we're sitting here in year number three. He gets to 27 home runs. Up and down season for him, I would say, in April and early May. I remember tweeting, I caught a lot of flack for it and admitted to it many times here on this very podcast, that he looked washed. Like he looked like a mere shell of himself. His at-bats were not looking good. He was moved out of the leadoff spot for a reason. That wasn't insulting him as a guy. In fact, I love him as a clubhouse guy, always having fun doing the rock, paper, scissors with Dusty Wathan, always engaging with fans. He would even wave or bow to the cutouts last year. I mean, guy always has fun playing the baseball. Guy, I would definitely think, it seems like he's smart, well-liked around baseball, has a future as a coach or somehow in a major league clubhouse moving forward. Because guys do really seem to respect him. He's a former MVP. Now, the Phillies knew they weren't getting the former MVP when they signed him. But as you look at him in totality, and especially this last year, I think not bringing him back makes sense. His bat was a little too inconsistent for my liking. Didn't really fill that leadoff spot that you needed him to fill anymore. Philly's still in search of a leadoff hitter as we enter this offseason. And especially defensively. I mean, I remember there were some plays late in the season where, you know, I think there was one game I was at and, you know, Freddie Galvis and Didi Gregorius are basically running out there into left field because it looks like McCutchen can't really move. You know, he doesn't move as well as he once did. He's now age 34. And so, look, Andrew McCutchen, great player, or once was a great player as an MVP, still a really effective player at the front end of this contract, still really well-liked as a clubhouse guy, can sometimes be good for certainly power numbers, but not going to give you the consistency at this point in his career where it makes sense to bring him back, and he's not filling that leadoff spot for you anymore. So again, the end of Andrew McCutchen, also the end of Odubel Herrera's Phillies career, at least it looks like it here, again, the day after the World Series ends. I'll get to that on the other side, just kind of briefly summarizing his career as a Philadelphia Philly, and once again on the other side. But first, I have to tell you about Built Bar. Look, I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats, and there's plenty of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is a new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories. And that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with a coconut Built Bar. Or go for that raspberry Built Bar instead of the raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any kind of pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built Bar is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two or three or four. Promise you it will fill you up very, very fast, and it's good, nice and tasty as well. Share some of your family gatherings. If you want to make things less awkward, maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet. Offer one to Aunt Betty. Sounds like a good idea to me. New surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the new site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar on Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. But remember, you got to go to Built.com, use that promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. One last time, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. And I also have to tell you about BetOnline.ag. We're back and better than ever, a new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. So the last guy who looks like will be ending, his Phillies tenure here today, Odubel Herrera. Odubel Herrera, obviously known for many things in his Phillies career, will always be remembered for, you know, the domestic violence incident he had in 2019. It was in late May, and then he didn't play out the rest of that season or the 2020 season. You know, much was made in the 2021 season when they did eventually decide to bring him back, basically for baseball reasons. You know, a variety of things kind of went into that. I made my stance pretty clear that I did not want to root for this guy, but, you know, obviously there's more to it than that. There's a players union and protocol, and he went through all of the protocols to get back and on the baseball field, and he spent, once again, 2021 in a Phillies uniform, but that will be the last one. From a more pure baseball sense, never really known as a headstrong player, if you will, you know, known for kind of having streaks, peaks and valleys in his production, especially at the plate. Never fully filled that center field role the way that, again, from a baseball sense in the year 2021, I think they were looking for. He was the center fielder for the Phillies for years. He, of course, went to the All-Star game back in 2016, where he represented the Phillies. I believe he was the only Phillies All-Star that year. Not exactly great days for the Philadelphia Phillies back in those days, especially. He made the final catch that was very dramatic in Cole Hamels' no-hitter back in 2015. And the guy's only ever played in a Phillies uniform. So it'll be interesting to see what the future of his career is as well. Again, not going to really miss rooting for a guy like that. Didn't really want him on the team after everything he had gone through. But, I mean, this is a guy who's been a lifetime Philly. And so the end of an era here today as Odubel Herrera, they declined the team option, $2.5 million buyout. And so we will see what the future for him holds. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. And I want to thank you for making Locked On your first listen every single day. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at Dan_Wilson4 and the podcast on Twitter at @LO_Phillies. And make sure your second listen after you listen to Locked On Phillies can get all your fix on the local ball club. Make sure your second listen on the Locked On Podcast Network is Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, and please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the majors, both present and past. It's free, and it's available on all platforms.